Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
We're celebrating the birthday boy. And part of our family's celebrating the birthday boy is we get together with family. Next week, we're going to go hang out with Christy's family over in the Detroit area. This past Friday and Saturday, we got back yesterday, we went and hung out with my dad in rural Indiana. It's beautiful. My dad, when he retired from the Air Force, he was a lieutenant colonel, an Air Force pilot, a base commander. He retired at the age of 41. Really scary to me. I'm 47. He has been long retired, right? He hired himself out as an excavator. He went to work for an excavator. As a private citizen, not the guy who works for an excavator, he hired that excavator to dig a massive 4-acre pond that he went to and stock with fish. So my dad paid the excavator, who paid my dad to work big equipment for about 6 months, and he made this unbelievable pond. And back in that pond, he's got a little island back in there and a rustic cabin. The place is simply beautiful. But there's something a little, depending on your perspective, awesome or creepy about my dad's house. He's got over 100 dead things hanging on the wall. I'm not kidding you. You go down in the basement in this wall right here, I don't know how many, maybe 20 to 30 skulls of deers and racks and their antlers just hanging out there. You go around the corner. This one kind of freaks Barkley out. There's this full mount stuffed black bear that's about the size of Barkley. It's kind of weird to see this fully mounted bear. And up on the wall, there are two different full bearskin rugs hanging on the wall. There's a couple fish that are bigger than any fish ought to be. Up in his study, he's got the ugliest thing I've ever seen. He's got a full mount turkey. Have you guys ever seen a turkey? These things are just ugly. In the main room, he's got this massive moose that he shot one day in Canada. And then over on the other wall, because you have to balance out the moose head with an elk head, right? So he's got this massive elk head. I'm not kidding you. His house is phenomenal. And these things kind of look cool, but let's be honest, they're all dead. It's a house filled with cool-looking things that are dead. Oh, that's how we celebrate the birthday boy. Go to a cool-looking house filled with cool-looking things that are all dead. Literally, a house filled with dead things. How many of you would appreciate going to my dad's house and seeing all that stuff? How many of you would be like, that's just wrong, right? Yeah, I'll be sure to not tell him that, okay? As we celebrate the birthday boy, I want to read to you a short passage from the book of Philippians, the second chapter, verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. Philippians was written to a group of people living in, anybody know? Philippi. Yeah. And it was written by a guy by the name of Paul. There you go. Y'all a little smarter than you were a few seconds ago. The Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, wrote this to his friends living in Philippi, the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. He's speaking of Jesus. He says, Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, or other translations say, did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped and held on to. Rather, somebody say rather. That's a good word, rather. Yeah. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness, or as I said last week, he took on a diaper. Somebody say diaper. Man. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And because of that right there, that short little passage from Paul, we can celebrate the birthday boy because Jesus, who was God, did not consider heaven as something to be labored in for the rest of his life. He left it all. And let me just tell you, as awesome as Kalamazoo is, heaven is better. As awesome as pumpkin pie and the holidays are, heaven is better. As awesome as that person who's sitting next to you is, heaven is better. As awesome as the river is, that guy's got it. You got it. Heaven is better. But he didn't consider heaven and equality with God as something to be held on to. He left it all behind. He left it all behind. You know why? Because he loved you. He loved you. The answer to this following question is me. I expect everyone to participate. Who does God love? Even the people who make dumb choices? Are there any other kind of people? He left it all because he loved you. Now, some of you might be stuck in the middle of your own stupidity, right? God loves you in the midst of your stupidity. And as I've said so often, he doesn't see your stupidity. He sees beyond your poor choices to the brokenness that leads to your poor choices. Let me teach you two smart words. The first one is justification. Say justification. Pretend like you're a theological professor and say justification. When you come to know Jesus, you have received your justification. It is just as if you have never sinned. Even though you continue to sin because you've said yes to Jesus, in the eyes of God, the grace of Jesus has covered you, and you are pure and you are holy, just as if you've never sinned, even when you're stuck in your own stupidity. Somebody say, that's good news. Now remember, when you hear good news, what do you got to tell? Your face. When you say yes to Jesus, even though you still make mistakes, God looks down at you through the lens of Jesus' sacrifice and sees somebody who's pure and right. And the Apostle Paul would say in Romans 7, the same guy who wrote Philippians wrote his friends who lived up in Rome, he said to them, I do that which I don't want to do. And the things that I want to do, I don't do them. I'm sure nobody in this room can relate to the Apostle Paul, right? I mean, this dude wrote the Bible, and he's saying he did dumb things he didn't want to do, and the things he did want to do, he doesn't do. Somebody say, whew. Even when we do those things, God sees us justified as if we are holy because of Jesus taking on a diaper. Is anybody happy Jesus took a diaper? Somebody say Pampers. I'm going to make a t-shirt for next year's Christmas with Jesus in a pamper. Second smart word, sanctification. Go ahead and say it. Say it kind of hoity-toity-like. Sanctification. You see, we're justified the moment we say yes to Jesus, but sanctification, man, that's one that takes a long time. He's making us better and holy every day, and even when we walk down that road of sanctification, that's being made more and more like Jesus, made more and more free from our sin, sometimes we're walking good in sanctification, but then sometimes life pulls us back and we take some backward steps. Anybody ever take some backward steps in their journey? You know what that makes? Oh, come on. How come 8 of you raised your hand? Are the rest of you awake? You know what it makes you when you're walking down this road of being like Jesus and you make mistakes and you fall backward? You know what that makes you? Yeah. I was going to say normal, but human works. It happens. So when Jesus took on a pamper, he did it because he loves you. The answer to the question is still me. Who does Jesus love? Yeah. Say it like you're happy about it. Who does Jesus love? But you know, he didn't grasp heaven. He let it all go, and he took on a diaper, not only because he loves you, he loves others. He loves others. And did you know that the reason we celebrate the birthday boy is because there are people who don't know that Jesus is for them, that Jesus loves them? There are people who don't know this, who will know this next year because you're going to tell them. Right? What's our goal this month? 100. Somebody say 100. 100 new people joining the faith community who don't yet know Jesus is for them, because there's nothing better than the good news of Jesus taking on a diaper because he wanted to set all people free. Amen. Now, what do we say about clapping? If somebody claps, jump on board. We looked at the beginning of this month, at the beginning of this teaching series. The good news of this birthday boy who we're celebrating is that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purposes. All things. It's a word, all. All. It's a fabulous word. All things. And then that second week, what did we talk about that second week? Does anybody know? I'm actually forgetting, and I'm stalling to see if I can remember by asking you. Does anybody remember what we looked at that second week? Yeah. For God so loved the world. Who remembered that, by the way? That's impressive. 3 points. For God so loved the world. It doesn't say parts of the world. He loves all of the world. All of it. And who remembers what we looked at last week? Anybody? I know that one because I just looked it up right there. God desires all to be saved. There's something about this birthday boy that leads him to like the word all. All things are going to work out. God loves all of the world. And God wants all people to be saved. Well, today we celebrate the birthday boy because he left it all behind so that you and others would know that he loves you. So let me tell you something. This is a heads up. I'm going to get excited here. So I don't want to alarm you with my voice raising. Are you ready? Are the rest of you ready? He's for you. He loves you. He likes you. And he left it all behind for you. And he's for your friends who don't yet know that he's for them. And he wants you to tell them. And so we want to be about the things that he's about, and we want to leave all things that are comfortable and easy for the sake of others knowing that Jesus loves them. We want to be like him, don't we? And so the river, we want to be a church that's just like Jesus. Not only do we want to do what he does, we want to say what he says, and we want to do what we say. Somebody's clapping. There you go. And so we've had from the beginning of this place these three B's, right? We want to be a place where anybody, somebody say anybody. Or let's use Jesus' favorite word. Somebody say all. We want to be a place that all can belong regardless of behavior. Regardless. You know, in the churches I were growing up, you could belong, but you had to act right first. You had to clean up your act. You had to certainly had to dress right. I've told you about that light gray polyester stupid suit I had to wear. I was a little off. You don't have to do anything to belong. You just walk into the very presence of Jesus and his people, and you belong. So we want to be about the Jesus business, which is giving a place for anybody to belong so that they can believe. You know, it's not enough just to belong because Jesus let people just belong in his presence. But whenever they encountered Jesus' awesomeness, they simply believed in him. You know, people often reject the church. And I want to say this, rightly so. Because the church throughout church history has made mistakes because it's filled with people like me and you who make mistakes. You know why the church isn't perfect? It's not rocket science. Because we're not perfect. But the one that we try to be like and the one that we love, he is perfect. And so we want everybody to belong so they can hear about Jesus and believe that Jesus is who he said he is and that Jesus is for them like he said he was. So that everybody who belongs, believes, becomes. You see, I used to think when I was a youngster that in order for me to become what God wanted me to be, I had to say no to all of my personality, all of my particular types of thinking, and I had to like go live in a mud hut somewhere in the middle of nowhere and be like a missionary living on rice and fish once a week. That might be you. But when we walk into faith in Jesus, he doesn't make us what we're not. He makes us more freely and more fully what we already are. See, God put his fingerprint on you, and his fingerprint on you is unique to you. You are unique. You are special. You are called to a particular task and purpose that no one else on planet Earth is. And God doesn't want you to be like that other person. He wants you to be you. And so we want to be about the business of Jesus, the one who took on a diaper so that everybody can belong, believe, become. And you know we do that? We do that by embracing two things at the river. The first thing that we embrace that we really want to be out that helps us become a place of belong, believe, become, we want to be a place where people are intimate with Jesus. You know, there's a story in the Old Testament when Moses went to the people and he said to the people, hey, people, God wants to talk to you. Get yourselves ready. God's coming down in a couple days. They heard that God wanted to interact with them. And you know what the people said? No, thanks. We'll let you do it, Moses. See, they were scared to get into the presence of God, or they were too, shall we say, lazy to get into the presence of God, because God had them prepare. And they realized, these Israelites, somebody say, these Israelites realized that it was much easier to let the professional go talk to God on their behalf, and then the professional can come down when it's convenient for them to talk to them and say what God told him. Stupid Israelites. Aren't you glad that nobody in America avoids proximity to Jesus? Aren't you glad that nobody in the American church leans into the professional preacher types to let them do all the talking to God and speaking to God for them? Somebody say, I saw that person in the mirror this morning. So the number one thing that we want to be about to help us belong, believe, become is intimacy with the King of Kings. Right, we sang about it this morning. The birthday boy that leads me to wear red pants and a stupid sweater, they called him Emmanuel. What does that mean? It means God with us. God with us. He took on a diaper, not that he would be distant for you to cower from, but that you might be close. So we haven't done this for a while. Everybody hold your right hand in the air and say, hello, me. We're speaking symbolically. Hold up your left hand and say, hello, God. This is what we need to be about. Boom. Nobody said boom. Let's try it again. Right hand in the air. Left hand in the air. Boom. I'm telling you, Jesus took on a diaper so that you could be close to him in an intimate relationship. Because he loves you. He left it all behind because he loves you and he loves others. Boom, intimacy. But the second thing that comes out of that intimacy is we want to be about the mercy that Jesus was about. Right? Jesus took on a diaper so that he could bring God's mercy to planet Earth. And so we embrace mercy with three L's. You like how I try to make that easy for you? Belong, believe, become. But we, as people who live out his mercy, want to be about the lost, the least, and the lonely. Amen. Everybody get your L up. Put it on your forehead. Boom. Right. The lost, the least, the lonely. Because this is what Jesus was about. But you know what? Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get your introspective glasses out. If you got your other glasses on, set them down. And I want you to pick up your introspective glasses. And if you don't wear glasses, pretend and put your introspective glasses on. I want you to pretend like you are able to examine yourself honestly. That's hard to do. You know what's easy to do? See the flaws of other people. In fact, let's take a minute and tell the flaws of the people around you what they are. Go ahead, tell them. Don't do it. I'm kidding. Balcony, stop it up there. It's really easy to look over to that person and say, oh, goodness. You know what's hard? Is to get that honest mirror out and look at it and say, man, there I am. To see ourselves fully as we are. Because like Adam and Eve, we've begun fig leafing. It's the day we became cognizant of ourselves and we began hiding behind fig leaves, and we don't want anybody to really see who we really are, and that begins with we really don't want ourselves to see who we really are. But there is no freedom without honest reflection. Did y'all hear that? In case you didn't, I said there is no freedom without honest reflection. So here we go. Just like my papa's house, the church is often filled with people who look cool on the outside but really are dead. And again, I'm talking about the church. It's easy to talk about the church, but I'm wondering if this place right here is like my dad's house, filled with things that look cool, filled with people that look cool, well, filled with you that look cool but actually are dead on the inside. Let's get more personal. I wonder if you're like that stuffed bear in my dad's house. Or that ugly turkey up in his den. Or the moose and the elk hanging in the main room. Cool to look at. Applaudable that you're in the house. But dead. You see, as cool as my dad's house is, or disgusting, depending on your perspective. All those things were dead. And once they died, this is profound, hang with me, they were no longer living. I'll say that again over here. Once those things died, they were no longer living. And those things were meant to live. And then die, and then for me to eat, because they're tasty. That's where the analogy breaks down between us. Like that moose that hangs on my dad's wall, you were made to be alive in your faith. Like that elk that hangs across from that moose, you were meant to wander the wilderness of life and bring the life of Jesus with you. And when you simply hang on the wall of church as a dead ornament, you're missing out on why the God of heaven put on a diaper. And when you stand in the corner like that stuffed bear, the people around you miss out because they need the life that you have from Jesus. So I'm wondering if you just need to wake up in your faith. We've been talking all month about expanding God's kingdom by bringing 100 folks who don't know Jesus to the faith. Maybe we need to bring you to the faith first. So how about some encouragement? Does anybody want to be encouraged today? Amen. Well, I'm not going to. That's where we're leaving it. You have to come back next week. Have a good week. Just kidding. I've seen life in this congregation. I've seen life in you. Now, some of you might need to be convicted and begin enacting a living faith. Some of you might hear the following and need to be inspired to get off your tuchus and walk out your faith because you need to hear that we celebrate the birthday boy taking on a diaper because he didn't make you to be dead in your faith. He made you to be alive. Some of you might need to hear the following and say, wow, I am encouraged that God has used me and my church. So whether you need to be inspired or encouraged, I want you to hear some of the awesome things that have been taking place because the birthday boy took on a diaper at this church. Would you like to be encouraged by his people who picked up the diaper and went their own way? I don't know what that means. Let me inspire you with some things that have taken place. And I got some slides up here. I want you to see this first slide, and let me tell you about what's been taking place. Did you know once a month, a group of women give their Friday night over to pamper some of the lost, the least, and the lonely, some of the most overlooked people of our culture, some of your people right here at the river, serve some of the women from the mission by giving them pedicures and manicures. Once a month, it's called Restore. Did you know that? It's unbelievable. People who often feel overlooked and unloved get loved and pampered because somebody realized Jesus took on a diaper because he loves all people, including homeless people. Similarly, there's a group of women who regularly go over to the mission and read books to the kids. Now, that might not seem like anything to you, but this is a crazy thing. Did you know kids sometimes can be really crazy? Did you know my kids can be crazy? Sometimes over there, it's just a crazy environment, but these women go over there to give the moms and the parents a break. Even though it's incredibly draining, they want to bring Jesus' presence to a place that needs Jesus' presence. Did you know that's going on at your church? Did you know that every Sunday after the service, y'all, people volunteer by giving your time to serve. Some of you donate things from your financial back pocket or front pocket, and you give things so that we can feed 30 to 40 homeless folks every Sunday, except for today, because overflow today is going to get moved to Christmas morning. So if you're looking for overflow today, we'll wait till Christmas morning, and it will be here, I think, around 8 a.m. to celebrate. And did you know that if you're homeless, you can get 7 free meals a day? So it's not that, you know, our homeless community really needs food. What they need is community. And the best thing I love about overflow, in addition to the servers and the donators, is the fact that there's family, and it's a peaceful place. Well, what else do we have going on at this church where people have put on their own diaper like Jesus did? Did you know there are 4 women's groups that minister to boatloads of women, 2 men's groups that regularly meet, discipling and training men, getting real and honest with struggles? And in both of these groups, there's 3 new couple groups that are going. In 4, 5, and 6 there, you know, these groups live real and authentic. You know, before we came to the river about 14 years ago, I was a part of, you know, groups where you could be in a group for years and years but never really know each other. But I know that these groups live authentically and raw and honest, and out of that comes freedom. Did you know that? Maybe you need to get in one. Did you know that you probably have heard this, that about several years ago, 7, 8 years ago, when we partnered with Maple Street Middle School, Maple Street Middle School, of the 4 KPS middle schools, was at the bottom of the rankings in all measurable things, but after your partnership, mentoring, coaching, blessing the teachers, praying for the school regularly, Maple Street Middle School has made its way to the top of the four. Did you know that? Yeah. Next one. Did you know that we regularly disciple, feed, and clothe students in Guatemala who otherwise would not be able to be fed, discipled, or educated? These kids down in Guatemala, their parents make a living by working through the dump. You ought to Google the city dump of Guatemala City. It is an unbelievable thing. These kids' parents have to work in the dump trying to find things that they can recycle, maybe sometimes things they can eat. And these kids are considered less than by the community. However, the ministry that we've partnered with down there gives these kids dignity as well as tangible tools and discipleship because you have given of your money, $45 a month, many of you, to sponsor about 100 and some kids in Guatemala City. Did you know you did that? Similarly, in Uganda, we have for about 8, 9 years, maybe 10 years now, we've sponsored over 200 kids in that time span, helping them grow in their faith, feeding them ongoingly. It's just been a remarkable thing that you have done. Did you know that this church that is largely made up of young families, college students, homeless people, and some others who don't fit in there, that an extra $220,000 was donated just so that we could finish that third space over there so that discipleship could happen in ways that it hasn't been able to before? Did you know that? And some of you are sitting right here without your children because you've always wanted a place for them to go, and they're there. What else do we have? Did you know that every single week that the prayer team is praying for you? In fact, this morning, before the service took place, there's people walking around over here praying over every single chair, praying up in the balcony, praying out there, and they pray for me before I come in here. They pray over the worship team. And then after the service, every single Sunday, they'll be out there to pray for you. Did you know that every Wednesday evening, for about an hour and a half, a boatload of them work in my office, work at prayer, praying for this church? Because they believe what the Bible says, that prayer is powerful and effective. And every Friday, a handful of them come and again pray over this church. Did you know that is happening right here at your church? People giving of themselves in service to you through the gift of prayer. What else do we got? Thank you. Did you know that the river is a place that is friendly and welcoming and inviting to our friends with special needs? You know, I've heard horror stories from some of my pastor friends whose churches will tell people who have special needs they got to be quiet, they got to sit still, they can't come here, to tell their loved ones, you know, you got to take your loved one out when they're distracting. And at this church, you know what happens when our special need friends are distracting? Nothing. Because this is a place that routinely embraces friends with special needs, and I'm proud of you for that. That is exactly what Jesus would do. Throughout the year, we've seen numerous baptisms, and we've seen increased volunteerism. We've increased our volunteers by over 100% this year. And not only did we increase those of you who volunteer in ministries throughout this church, we've increased the commitment and responsibility that volunteers have had to jump into. So not only did we ask you to volunteer more, we asked you to commit more of your time and energy, and y'all done did do it. Way to put your diaper on, people. Yeah, clap for that. What else do we have? Did you know that we have an intern at the river? That's kicking butt in the name of Jesus. And he's sitting right there next to his lovely wife. Way to go, Mitch. Right? You guys have embraced him and allowed him to lead us in our community, in our connections ministry. So way to go, Mitch. That's because of you people. You know that we have a new discipleship and community pastor. His name is Brad, and he's right over there. You'll see him tomorrow night. That's way to go. Do you know that we've served literally 100-plus meals this year? We call them mercy meals for people who've been sick, families who are experiencing loss, or women who've been doing that thing called delivery, right? So mercy meals have been given food all throughout Kalamazoo because of you wonderful people. Did you know that Celebrate Recovery meets here every Thursday night? It's a Christian-based recovery movement that comes out of Saddleback Church and Rick Warren out in California. And over 70 folks come to that each Thursday night. They receive some food, community, and they walk out their recovery. Did you know that happens on right here at River, right over there? Did you know that? All right, what else we got going on? You clap for that. Did you know we've been without a youth pastor for a number of months right now, but there's a group of stellar, somebody say stellar. Stellar. I didn't say stellar, I said stellar. Volunteers who give of their time without a staff presence to make youth group engaging and fun, and they disciple our youngsters. This is phenomenal. People know what it is to put on a diaper because Jesus did to serve others. That's fantastic. Do you know that our welcome center is clicking in ways that it never has before? People are getting connected because of that, and our connections are enhanced because that ministry has taken off because many of you have given of your time to make this a more inviting place. The greeting team, it used to be me and Barkley, and one of us was always really appreciated. I met somebody this week who was at the river for the first time, and I was asking, hey, did anybody say hi to you other than me and Barkley? And he said, yeah, as soon as I walked in, somebody else. And then as soon as I walked, somebody else. As soon as I walked in, somebody else. This place has become a welcoming, greeting type place because people realize that Jesus is for others. That's fantastic. What else have we got going on up here? Did you know that there's a Sunday school class, so to speak, that Phil and Shelley Brandt teach? Did you know that? Are they welcome to come, Phil? Phil says, nope, you can't come. It's not for you. Just kidding. They train people in things like prayer and how to go deeper in your faith. And that thing has been flourishing pretty much all year. Did you know that? And you are more than welcome. It's 9 a.m., at least for the next, well, you're probably not meeting anymore this year, are you? Yeah. One more time. So next week on the 30th, 9 a.m., and then we're going to have to change time. Still at 9 a.m.? Yeah, just changing locations because we're going to two services. Do you guys know we're going to two services? Right, January 6th. Did you know that there's a few women of the church who go to Overflow once a month and give out free haircuts to people who couldn't afford haircuts otherwise? Did you know that's going on? That's phenomenal right there. You know, we have a new office manager who started about a week and a half ago, kind of picking up some things that have been on the table and taking things from others who are moving on. This is phenomenal. Do you know that Mallory is seeing an influx in growth in our River Kids ministry as parents and children are being discipled and served by many people like you under Mallory's leadership? What else have we got? Did you know that Lake Street finally sold? Did you know that 14 years ago we started on Lake Street, Portage and Lake Street, we had that little white church building? Well, we've been doing a land contract for years, And I actually put that up there in faith because this week I had to sign some papers and get it to them. But hopefully by the end of this week, it will have finally sold and God is blessing us to get out from under that and it's moving on to another place. That's phenomenal. Did you know that there's a college group that meets, I think, every other Sunday night in the Bracey's home and a boatload of college students hear and grow in the name of Jesus? Did you know that that lobby had an overhaul this entire year because somebody had a vision to say, you know what, the river needs to be a place that is incredibly welcoming, so let's design everything out there to make it warm and inviting. And did you know that even though we've been in what we call a spending freeze here at the river, you know, if we get below a certain level, everybody on staff, we're not allowed to spend anything. We just got to. But did you know that God has provided for us and has every single year? Amen. Every single year God has provided and he's going to continue to provide as the years go on. That's phenomenal. And then we have a reputation, and I like it. Amen. We're known as the church that ministers to the lost, the least, and the lonely, that majors in anybody belonging to believe to become. And I have friends who work at churches who say, I can't invite certain people to my church because it's not inviting. Can I send them your way? That seems awful and awesome at the same time. And I'm glad that your church has a reputation that anyone is welcome. And as you see, number 32, since November 25, our Sunday morning worship attendance has gone up 57 people. Did you know that? This is cool. Now, that might mean absolutely nothing. According to Gallup, a poll, the average American committed Christian goes to church. They ask these people who consider themselves committed Christians, how many times do you go to church each year? The average American committed Christian goes to church 17 times a year. And so the influx of 57 people as we count Sunday morning could just be, you know, normal folks who are coming there one out of 17 times. So we'll have to get better at figuring out how to measure these things. There are other great things to measure, like increased volunteerism, like increased connection. But for whatever reason, since November 25th, when we began to put a full court press on sharing more the goodness of Jesus, the size of these people in this room, well, the size of the people hasn't changed, but the number has grown by 57, not because we want to increase our popularity, but because Jesus is awesome. God is at work. Yeah, clap for that. And we celebrate the birthday boy because he took a diaper on because he loves you. And we celebrate the birthday boy because not only does he love you, he loves others. And today in our series celebrating the birthday boy. I celebrate the birthday boy because many of you have done what he has done and began living out your faith in 2018 in ways like you never have before. For that, two thumbs up.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.